Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Announcement before we scripture reading this morning. I want to thank Brother Joseph Douglas. Brother Douglas, wave your hand. He's in the choir.
Yes, Lord.
And when we ask for help with our lawn, grounds around the church, which encompass the grounds around this building, but also we own that large field, amen. 13 acres belong to Pleasant Hill. And Brother Douglas took it upon himself to lead an effort, amen, of men and women who want to help to keep our grounds looking good. And the first thing he did was to trim all of these tall. They had grown so tall, but I didn't see how he got them down, but he got them down, and they look good, amen. And then he pointed out to me this morning something I hadn't seen in a while. All of the shrubs around those tall shrubs have blossomed and bloomed. They have life, and they're looking good. So we thank you, Brother Douglas, for that. But if y'all recall, several other brothers, amen, said they would help him, amen. And I think so far he's been doing it alone, and that wasn't the spirit of it. But what I want you to do, those who want to help him, see him after church, give him your name and your number so that when he is here, you can know, amen, ahead of time so y'all can coordinate on how to help. Amen. So let's thank God again for Brother Douglas. God bless you. All right. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Amen. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this preaching hour. We pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds as you remind us that you are God. And God, that when we are weak, you are strong. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, rising above life's challenges. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Rising above. Let me hear everybody say, rising above life's challenges. I remember seeing a picture of an old burned out house, and standing in front of this old burned out house, and I knew that it was an old burned out house because the only thing left standing was the chimney. And standing in front of that old burned out house was this elderly gentleman, and he was holding the hand of a young boy, and I assumed that it was a grandfather and grandson or father and son. But they were standing there in front of this home that had obviously been destroyed by fire. Amen. And they were in the only clothes that they had as they stood there. Amen. And as I looked at the picture, I noticed that the little boy was crying. It was evident that the family would have to either rebuild or move on. What a challenge. Because nothing can replace home. Amen. Beneath the picture were the words that the artist, I assume, felt that the old man was speaking to the boy as the boy was crying. And in the inscription beneath the picture were the words that this elderly gentleman spoke to the young boy. They were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. The words were this: "Hush, child, God ain't dead." And y'all, that picture of that old burned out shack, that old man, the weeping boy, and those words, "God ain't dead," kept returning to my mind. So much so that instead of the picture being a reminder of the despair of life, in my mind, it was a reminder of the hope that we have in life. In the midst of all of life's challenges and difficulties, we need mental pictures to remind us that all is not lost. As long as we know that God is alive. That's why the house was filled last Sunday, because folk came out, amen, to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And I would just challenge them and challenge you, amen, that every Sunday is a good Sunday to worship and praise God because he lives. Come on, where are my folk who are glad to know that he lives, and that as long as he lives, there is hope. As long as we know that God is alive and his grace is a reality. And how true this philosophy of life rings when the challenge is behind us. Oh my, you want to have some good church? Just get folk to remember what the Lord has brought them through. Where are my folk who can praise God because you are a witness to what God is able to do? Come on, he brought me through some stuff. But how difficult it is to grasp when we are just beginning to face our challenges. I'm talking about challenges that call into question our very integrity and our commitment. I'm talking about challenges that force us to reach deep down and find courage and faith where none existed. I'm talking about challenges so seemingly insurmountable that they cannot help but separate the real Christians from the hypocrites. I'm talking about those difficulties that have forced many a grown man to cry and many a saint to plead for God's mercy. And I would argue that it was this type of intense degree of pain that caused the Apostle Paul to cry out to God for relief. Paul wrote that he asked God three times, "Lord, take this thorn away from me." Lord, I'm asking you three times that this difficulty might depart from my life. And think for just a moment, my brothers and sisters, about who is making this request. I'm talking about Paul. Paul, who had written in this same epistle that from the Jews he had received 39 stripes five times. Y'all know what stripes are, don't you? That's whippings. That's beatings. Amen. Amen. He said he received 39 five different times. He was beaten with rods three times. One time he was stoned. Three times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the deep. Over the course of his journeys, he was often in perils of water. He was in perils of robbers. He was in perils by his countrymen. He was in perils by heathens, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false believers. Yet he pressed on in weariness. I said he pressed on. Oh my, I know I'm looking at some folk this morning, amen. I didn't feel like coming to church, but I pressed on, amen. I've got aches and pains in my body, but he's been too good to me, and so I pressed on. Paul pressed on. He pressed on in weariness. He
pressed on in painfulness. He pressed on in hunger, in thirst, in cold, and in nakedness. And so after all that the apostle had endured and suffered and withstood, this thorn in the flesh is what we would call adding insult to injury. This physical, because we don't know what it was. Emotional, spiritual, whatever it was, this ailment, this temptation, whatever it may have been, was an excruciating burden for this trial-tested and tribulation-tested veteran of the gospel. Paul, the veteran Christian, was forced to plead with God that this thorn be removed. And likewise, in the face of the challenges that lie ahead for us, isn't it our request as well? Just like Paul, God, take it away from me. Come on, be real this morning. Don't act like, amen, you woke up in the midst of your challenges saying, bring it on, amen. No, many of us, even your pastor, has often prayed, Lord, take this away from me. Because how can we possibly deal with the vicissitudes of life? How can we possibly deal with all of the struggles of life? I'm talking about job problems, home problems, health problems, emotional problems. And don't you sit there and act like you don't have any. You're cute and all of that. But one thing I know about life is that we all have to go through some stuff. Where are my folks who are not ashamed to let folk know I've had to go? Matter of fact, I'm going through some stuff right now. Somebody said that you're either coming out of a storm, amen, you're in your storm, amen, or just keep on waking up. Your storm is up ahead. Amen. So the question is not, will we have to deal with problems? The question is, how can you and I possibly rise to meet life's challenges? Wouldn't it be better if God just removed them? Let God work it out. Let God put a stop to it. And so we too have prayed earnestly with fervor and with faith that God would remove our challenges. Lord, let these thorns depart from us. Lord, let these Negroes leave me alone. Lord, take the pain away. Lord, restore our broken economy, broken at the hands of an, oh my, Lord, restore our jobs. Lord, fix our marriages and relationships. Lord, let my loved one live. Amen. However, the thorns remain and God doesn't remove them all. The late Reverend Frederick Sampson talked about how God deals with our do-it-for-me laws. He talked about how, amen, how God deals with that stuff that we are requesting, amen, in a sermon entitled The Death of Hope. He said he asked God to remove his thirst, and God gave him a shovel and told him to dig. He asked God to remove his hunger, and God gave him some seeds and told him to plant. He asked God to remove his fear and despair, and God gave him some more enemies and put him in darkness and told him to struggle on a little longer. And soon Brother Samson learned how to stop asking God to remove things, because God rarely removes the challenge. But God gives us what we need to rise to the challenge. Is there anybody here in Pleasant Hill this morning who can testify, I'm stronger now, I'm better now, I'm wiser now? Because he didn't remove all of my challenges, but he gave me what I need to rise up to the challenge. And I surmise that the reason that God does not remove our challenges is because God is trying to teach us, as God taught Paul, one of the great mysteries of the faith. And in order for Paul to grasp this eternal truth, God had to make sure that he remained humble. Y'all better hear me this morning. Whenever you start thinking too much of yourself, whenever you start thinking, amen, you're big and you're bad and, amen, can't nobody correct you and can't nobody, amen, tell you nothing because I got degrees and I got this and I got that, amen, I'm here to tell you that God hates pride. Nudge your neighbor and tell him he hates pride. He hates pride. That's why the scripture says, lest Paul should be exalted above measure. A thorn was given to him. See, a lot of times we give the devil credit for stuff he ain't had nothing to do with. We blame all of our problems, all of our troubles, our illness on the devil. Amen. But I've come by to tell you today that some stuff you're going through, the devil ain't had nothing to do with it. God gave it to you because he's trying to humble you. Say amen, somebody. A challenge was provided for him. And if Paul was in danger, I said, if Paul was in danger of religious arrogance, if Paul was in danger of having the spiritual big head, Paul, who claimed to be the least of the apostles, and in another place claimed to be the least of all the saints, who in another epistle wrote that he was the chief among sinners, if Paul was in danger of spiritual pride, then you and I better watch out. It was necessary for God to place some difficulty there to keep Paul humble. If it was necessary for God to place challenges in Paul's life to keep him humble, then how much more should you and I be given challenges? And so our challenges are there, first of all, here it is, to bring us to our knees, to teach us that our education might be able to make sense of the challenge, but I can't get enough degrees to enable me to endure the challenge. Our money and our wealth may be able to help us momentarily elude the challenge, but it can never enable us to escape the challenge. Our strength might be enough to keep us from being destroyed by the challenge, but it can never be sufficient enough for us to rise and slay the challenge. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a challenge slayer. I don't know about y'all, amen. I want to be one who's able to stand in the midst of my trials and my troubles, in the midst of a crazy Washington administration, in the midst of folk losing their jobs, in the midst of my money being funny and my change being strange. I want to be the kind of a believer that can stand up and say, for Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die. Is there anybody here today you're determined to be a challenge slayer? Because the primary condition for rising to our challenges with any amount of success is a sense of our own weakness. God will empty out all that we are so that he can fill us with all that he is. I think I can rewind and say that again. I said, God will empty out all that we think we are. You know how we walk around, amen. And I'm guilty at times. I went to Southern University, and I have a Bachelor of Science degree in economics and finance, amen. You know, but God has a way of emptying out all that stuff we brag about, all the stuff we boast about. He empties us out so that he can fill us with who he wants us to be. Is there anybody that can thank God for life's challenges? You see, the only strength that God wants us to use when rising to meet our challenges is the strength that he gives us. For when we are weak, then we are strong. With grace our shield and Christ our song. We can endure life's trials and storms leaning on the everlasting arms. Y'all, there is an eternal truth, and I'm almost done. There is an eternal truth that God not only wants us to know, but he also wants us to experience. And unfortunately, this truth cannot be fully grasped when preaching from a pulpit. It cannot be genuinely taken hold of in a seminary class. It cannot be accurately understood with the simple exegesis of the text. Unfortunately, this truth can be sincerely comprehended only in the depths of our innermost being when we are overwhelmed by tremendous challenges. In Paul's case, it was this thorn in his flesh that God was using to humble him. But please, please, if you don't hear me, amen, hear me now, because humbling Paul was not God's ultimate goal. I said humbling Paul was not God's ultimate goal. Pastor, I thought you said that's why God gave him the thorn to humble him. I thought you said that's why God, amen, presents challenges in our lives is to humble us. But I got to take you a little bit higher, because humbling Paul was not God's ultimate goal. Deacon Smith, whatever you went through, amen, amen, God humbling you was not his ultimate goal. Brother Wright, amen, what you went through this past week, amen, amen, humbling you was not God's ultimate goal. Is there anybody who wants to know what his ultimate goal is? The ultimate goal of the thorn in his flesh was for Paul to experience the sufficiency of God's grace. There was a time in the Baptist church when just the mention of grace would elicit praise from people. There was a time in the Baptist church, amen, when just the mention of amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I've come by today to tell somebody that whatever you're going through, yes, a part of it is God trying to get you to be humble, but please don't miss that that is not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal for us as his children is that we understand the sufficiency of his grace. Oh my, y'all still don't get it. Y'all still don't get it. Amen. I've come by to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that his grace can handle whatever challenges you're facing. His grace can help you through whatever problems you're facing. His grace is sufficient to deliver you through every storm, through every heartache, through every time folk have lied on you and talked about you. I've come by to remind church folk that his grace is sufficient to keep you, to save you, to heal you, to deliver you. Come on and thank God for his grace. And it is this divine truth that God also wants us to experience and appreciate. And so he uses heartbreaking challenges to get us to realize our insufficiency. For only when we recognize our insufficiency can we experience his grace. There was a pastor who visited an elderly woman who lived by herself. Her husband had died some years earlier. Her health was failing her, and now her eyesight was fading too. Before leaving the woman's home, he told the old lady, he said, "There's a scripture I want to leave with you." He said, "God's grace is sufficient for you, for his strength is made perfect in weakness." And then he said to the old lady, that's a great scripture, ain't it? With a twinkle in her eye, the old lady responded, preacher, that's not simply scripture to me. That has become my